This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to the last week. This is it. This is week four of our romance series. And we are ending it by watching this week Love Letter. And I just want to first start off by saying it was the movie's fault for not getting the memo on the series.
Okay.
You know, it... they had the dress code. We told them it was romance, and they showed up wanting to be different. You know, just saying. Whoever picked this movie clearly were not at all read the synopsis deeply enough, and I don't know who's to blame here. But we were on a hot streak. We were doing good
until this one.
Until this very moment. I don't know, Lee.
I mean, I enjoyed it at least.
At the very least, it was good.
I enjoyed it, but yeah, romance.
Not saying it was a bad movie. I'm just saying it wasn't in line with the theme per se.
It wasn't in line with our
expectations
of atypical romance. But I think it has elements of. I mean, it's still a love story.
Yeah.
One way or another. It's just a very roundabout way of telling that love story.
Like, it's a love story, but it's not a romance story.
It's a love story, but it's not a direct...
Yeah, yeah. It's not about two people falling in love.
Yeah, it's not a direct confrontation between two people.
Yeah, yeah.
And them meeting each other and... falling in love with each other.
This movie kind of like, it's what happens afterward.
Yeah, everything's done. Everything's finished.
This movie's the epilogue of romance.
Yeah.
Just like cut short. And they're all still pretty young. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll own up to it. I picked this movie because... Well, I mean, I didn't know much about it. I also wanted to go into it cold to have that experience. But, Shinji Iwai is, a lot of the stories that he writes and the movies that he makes are very, have, a romantic inclination to them. They all kind of have, or at least they have, an element of, romance in it. If not it being, a true romance, per se, you know? So, you know, I kind of went into this movie, thinking that knowing... his style and the typical themes that he writes about, that it would probably fit into this, but and then ended up not. So there's that. But it was still good nonetheless. I mean, I was very pleased.
I mean, was it romantic? I think you can say it's romantic. Yeah. There is a romantic aspect to the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really telling a story about somebody figuring out about their past love or that somebody loved them, right? Basically. But it's not necessarily... So in that sense, I would say it is romantic.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think in a weird way, it fits the theme. It fits our series.
Sure.
But it's a very... Like I said, it's a very roundabout way of accomplishing that, I think, in this movie.
Everything that we've watched so far is about two people meeting each other. And this movie is about two people having known each other, essentially. So it's just the opposite part.
It's kind of like the realization of all those moments that culminate into the person realizing that that person loved her.
Where they're still in love, where she's still in love with him. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at the end it kind of shows that it went both ways. It's just that she never really.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah.
Cared fully accepted it. I think she never
Right on her part. Yeah. Yeah.
Her part.
And also the same way with him, in the way that we find out why he loved her in the first place. Well, Hinako anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. But I'm talking about
By Itsuki.
Itsuki,
right.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, it's like the story of kind of like rediscovering and et cetera, et cetera. All that later. All that later. Mm-hmm. To the back burner. But yeah, just a little bit here about the movie and the director. Love Letter. This came out in 1995. Again, me doing something different here.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe. Maybe I tried something different and I screwed it up all the way. All the way. Directed by Shinji Iwai. This was his debut film, actually. Iwai started off his career as like doing music videos and commercials, and then kind of like moved into TV dramas mainly after that. And he gained some pretty good traction doing TV dramas, most notably for, I think, like Fireworks, which came out in the same year as this, I think, but like before. And it was like a kind of like a TV movie. I think most people are going to know Fireworks from the 2017 anime movie adaptation, which I just found out that was an adaptation of this work. It's an okay movie. It's like a short kind of movie, but and after that he transitioned into the narratives with this movie, which he both wrote and directed, and it was a pretty big success in Japan and for him, and most notably in other parts of Asia, particularly South Korea. Actually, this was the like one of the first films that a Japanese film anyway that screened in South Korean cinemas, right? After since World War II.
That soundtrack gets played repeatedly.
Seriously?
As a parody for like love stuff.
Damn.
In Korea.
I did not know that.
Mm. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty influential there. Yeah, you know, it's, for me, it's actually, it's funny given like his background. He feels almost like the Japanese Fincher, if Fincher didn't do crime stuff, but drama stuff.
I don't know about that.
She's like, yeah, we they're very like visual, and their backgrounds are kind of the same, and there's like a little bit of like a similar feel, but completely different stories. Mm. like 100%.
I feel like Fincher is way more precise in the way that he does things.
A little bit. I mean, I kind of get the same feeling from Iwai as well. Just because, like, even visually, it's very particular in a way. You know? Like, in the way that it's really stylized. But not, like...
You'll have to convince me on that. I'm not fully convinced.
He's like, but yeah, so, I mean, Iwai is, I think he's, like, really... He's pretty, like, influential for the time that he was really prominent, which would be, like, 90s, early 2000s. I don't think that he's done much now. And also, I think, like, because of that, not a lot of people know his name, like, in the West and, like, here. Like, you've never really heard of him, right? But you've heard of Love Letter.
No, I haven't.
You really haven't? Oh, just a soundtrack?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, known probably primarily there, but not much here. But he does really, really good stuff. I think... I saw Rip, A Bride for Rip Von Winkle, it's called, which came out in 2016. That's a really good movie. It's also really long. It's 3 hours long. Mm. But that made a strong impression. And then I wanted to see the other movies. And so I was like, I can find a Sea Level Letter through the podcast. And yeah, I mean, I think it just gets better and better with everything that I see. It's really, really good all the way. But like I said, kind of stumbled in the theme, but. It's fine. But if you see his other movies, I can kind of like draw some parallels. Like there, he has a very pretty consistent theme all throughout. But yeah, tell me about, what did you think? What was your impressions like after seeing this?
I enjoyed it for the most part. I think the first half of the movie was very engaging.
Mm.
And then near the end, I think it kind of... I think the ending was a lot weaker than the beginning of the movie. There are a lot of like questions and things that were raised in the beginning of the movie that made the movie interesting to watch, like engaging to watch.
Okay, yeah.
And like the further you go into it, I feel like it didn't really, like, the payoffs for the questions that I had wasn't really as satisfying as I would have wanted. And so I think that kind of lowered my enjoyment of the film by the end of the movie.
Is it because, like, I kind of had the similar feelings, not like the negative way that you had, but, like, still, like, it's funny that there were the payoffs for the questions you had, but it ended up turning, like, is it because it was more grounded than, like, fantasy that it pitched it in the beginning? You know what
no,
I mean?
No, I mean, it's not because of, like, because it was more grounded or anything. I think it's just more because, like, it kind of, like, fizzled out. Like, especially Hiroki, I think.
Hiroko?
Hiroko?
The girl?
Yeah. Hiroko's, like, whole, like, arc throughout the movie, I feel like, was very weak. I feel like in the beginning, you have a lot of, like, investment in her story and, like, what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that they end it is really kind of just, like, okay. So,
but she's no longer the protagonist after a certain point.
Yeah, but it's, like, it doesn't really, like, do that well. I feel like it doesn't really, like, hand over the baton of protagonist well to the other character.
Yeah.
And just, like, the way that they're using the letters to do that and then her kind of giving up by the end, it all kind of felt kind of like just like, what was the whole point of that by the end for me?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't anything, like, explosive at the end, per se, or, like...
I mean, I'm not, like, expecting some kind of, like, spectacle at the end, but, like, I just wanted to see some kind of, like, I don't know, something more satisfying. I think that's the easiest word I can use, like, just something more satisfying for Hiroko at the end. Whereas, like, for Itsuki, right?
Itsuki,
yeah. For her, I liked the ending. Like, I liked how, like, the book stuff came back around and how the students came and gave her the book and she kind of realizes that he loved her.
Yeah.
I like that part. It's just weird how, like, that paradigm shift between Hiroko and Itsuki happened.
Right.
And it's just, like, at a certain point, like, it moves over, but...
but then they kind of, like, reel it back by the end because they still have to wrap it up.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but...
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying because, I mean, for me, at a certain point, it's really, like, right at the halfway mark, like I said, we get these questions. Basically, it's like, okay, hold on, let me back up, like, 5 steps. What are the chances... that there's another movie where the same actress plays 2 different characters than we watched. It's her, yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, so the person that plays Itsuki and Hiroko is the same actress.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, what I'm saying, but, like, that and then we watched the classic, and it's the same thing.
Oh.
So it's just, like, it's just funny.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I didn't know, by the way. I was like...
Yeah.
I was like, pause! Hold on. But, yeah, like, it brings up that, and then, like, it actually plays into the story that they actually look alike, and, like, that ends up paying off for, like, the guy Itsuki's, like, romance bit.
Mm.
But, like, it raises all these questions where it's like, oh, this guy died, but there's, like, letters, so, like, who's who, what's going on? And then by, like, the 30-minute mark, or, like, almost halfway, everything about that is answered already. Like, she figures it, Itsuki figures it out that, there's just another person named Itsuki who's a girl that received a letter and that they're writing back to each other. So it's like the first chapter of the book. It's like basically the reason why we started watching it in the first place is already done.
Yeah.
And then we go into like what's gonna happen now, because like the reason that we're even here is like answered, and then it just kind of picks off with becoming a whole new movie, almost.
I think it's a good thing when the audience is curious and has questions as they're watching the movie.
Yeah.
It's just how you answer those questions by the end of the movie that's important. So like I like movies where they give you this very simple question in the beginning, and they actually give you the answer to that question like midway through the movie, and then you're like, okay, now what, right?
Yeah.
And then I think that drives the audience to want to watch more, and I think that this movie did the same thing, and I think it's a good like mechanism for in terms of like engaging the audience. But I think that the
follow-up
the solution or the answer to that question that we have by the middle point of the movie is not really, I mean, they give you an answer, but there's like two sides, right? There's Hiroko and there's Itsuki, and I feel like Itsuki got the longer end of the stick.
Well, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, and Hiroko just kind of fades into,
yeah,
you know.
It's like,
but the thing is, it's weird because we start off with Hiroko.
Yeah.
That's why it feels like, you know, she needed something a little more at the end.
Right.
Whereas, like, basically, it wraps her story up with her, like, screaming to the mountains, like.
Right.
Right.
But that's not until after, like, a solid hour of not seeing her again.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that just kind of, and actually the point, like, I know the exact point where I felt like it kind of crumbled was like once that whole blizzard running to the hospital thing happened.
Oh.
And from then on, it was kind of like kind of falling apart in one way.
You're like, okay, this is completely different. I was like,
that's weird because I did like the past, all the scenes, all the scenes in the past. I think those are good, like, implementations. It was implemented really well, and I like the interaction between Hiroko and Itsuki talking about the past.
Yeah.
And kind of like kind of like thinking about the guy and like the guy she knew.
Yeah.
The guy Hiroko knew, but then. It's like very different from the guy that Itsuki knew, and kind of that juxtaposition and that comparison was very interesting and kind of fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I had hoped that maybe something would come out of that, but nothing really ever does.
It's just, I mean, like, it does, but like
not really. Not it's just like, oh, okay, I guess he was different. Cool. I guess that these are more your memories, so you can just have it.
Right.
But you know,
I mean, like the point of it was that. Well, I feel like the main use of it was for Itsuki to realize that he liked her in the end.
Because,
like, once that point starts, once that part of the movie starts, and we're getting into all the flashbacks, and then she's, like, recollecting all these memories, like, it feels like at a certain point, you realize that Itsuki, the guy, liked Itsuki, the girl in his class, but we're just waiting for, like, Itsuki to figure it out the whole time, and everybody around her kind of knows and suspects it already, but Itsuki's like, nah, that's not, like, I never liked him, like, there was no way that he liked me or whatever. And then finally by the end of it, like, she finally knows, like, the whole thing was like a device to convince us, like, yeah, he definitely, Itsuki liked the other Itsuki, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that was like what's supposed to come out of, and that, and the fact that for Hinoko was that for her to realize that maybe for the reason that Itsuki even went into the relationship with her was sparked by the fact that he liked Itsuki and the fact that they just are clones of each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I think, like, that element was a really solid, like, element. Just, like, it's a cool tidbit and, like, a really kind of, like, devastating kind of cathartic moment.
Mm.
But I can see that too, like, it kind of falls short or just falls really late because, again, like, the whole flashback thing is, like, an hour of the movie.
Yeah.
We're not back into Hinoko to, like, the end where we have to, like, let's wrap it up.
I have a question. Did Itsuki's mother, she said that they used to live in the house, right?
Yes.
And then they moved,
in,
right?
In, not Osaka, but Otaru. Yeah, they live
in the same house?
Itsuki and his mom?
Itsuki and, yeah, Itsuki's mom, right? the in the present. Well, not in the present. I'm saying like,
oh, they didn't live. They didn't live in the girl Itsuki's home.
Oh, they didn't.
No, no, no. They lived in a completely different home.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you remember when?
So why did she send letters to that house?
No, she sent letters to their old house, which is in the same town as Otaru. But you remember the scene where her and Akiba went to Otaru?
Yeah.
And they went with a friend. Oh, they went to his friend's glass shop. And that one like worker was like, oh, I knew the Itsuki guy from when we were in school. And he takes them to like the highway tunnel.
No, and that was the house.
The house used to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That, and that's where she addressed the letter to. Okay. But that doesn't exist.
So how did the letters go to her house?
I'm guessing they just, because it's the same name, they just send it to the other one. Yeah. So it just found her way to that. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why there was like, there's like some conversation points where she's like, well, the house doesn't exist anymore. Like, what the,
how did I get it back? That's why I was kind of confused. Yeah. I thought the mother said it was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, they talk about it too in the movie, but yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, so it was destroyed, but I guess... It's still there, the house?
Question mark.
And like, she's living in the house now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was just kind of confused. But.
That kind of confused me. There was a few points that kind of lost me a little bit. Like, it took me a hot second to realize that when we see Itsuki, the girl, in the beginning, that her name is even the same as the guy. So I was even confused as to like...
Oh, in like, the beginning, I was like, why is the same person... acting like a different person.
Yeah, that threw me off too. Like,
yeah, like in the very beginning, I was like, huh?
I was like, is this like a time travel movie? Like, are she's relating like letters in a different...
Or like they're like talking to each other, like the same person's talking to each other, but they're acting like different people. Like some... different dimensions.
Yeah, 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 like parallel universes. That's what I was like. It's like, it's a letter to heaven. Like, oh, yeah. Like, are they like actually
in like a different dimension, right?
Yeah.
Where, where the guy's actually alive or something.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that whole thing confused me. And like, I was confused why she was even confused to be like,
yeah,
who's like this Hinoko person? And like, but why?
It's like the same person, but they're like, oh, who is this Hinoko person?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like, who is the Itsuki person? Why are you using different names for the same person?
For you guys are the same people. What's happening here?
Yeah.
What do you have the same names or not?
That took me.
Took me a while.
A while.
Yeah, it took me a minute.
Yeah.
To realize. It's because it's like the movie just like drops you in.
Mm.
Like from the get go, you're kind of just thrown into the lives of these people. And you have to play.
It doesn't help that they're exactly the same person playing the same character.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, it wasn't until probably like when Akiba starts meddling.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets him to like send her ID.
Yeah.
Then like it dawns on me. Oh yeah, okay. Now I fully understand.
They're just the same person. I mean, they're just different people, but the same.
But played by the same people. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I thought it was really interesting that, like, I think it worked out pretty smoothly, though. Once you, like, realize and you kind of see it all, it, like, I think it works out really, really nicely.
Mm.
That the way that he played it off with the same actress, and that, like, also in the world, they're two different people, but look the exact same.
Yeah.
I think that they really utilized that really, really nicely. Really interesting. And then, like, even editing-wise, like, so how are they going to... They don't really actually meet. I mean, they cross paths, but... That's about
convenient.
It. Convenient.
Very convenient.
But it worked out. Like it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That way. Should I do the quick take? I don't know.
What do you mean?
We basically talk about the go whole ahead. Movie already. What do you mean? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's not long, I swear. All right. Let's see what I got. So as you know, two people who play the same person. Now, so the movie basically begins with like the anniversary memorial service for Itsuki Fuji, the guy, and he passed away like 2 years prior to these events. So we follow Hiroko Watanabe, which is his fiance before he passed, right? And basically we're like thrown right into the service, and Hiroko starts to dip out early, and Itsuki's mom fakes a headache as an excuse to leave with her. So they end up going back to the mom's home, and they like reminisce about Itsuki, and like they share childhood photos of him. And so or Hiroko sees his like junior high yearbook pictures, and they start talking about like the fact that they used to live in Otaru, and Hiroko jots down the address of their old home, knowing that it like broke down or whatever. So later on, she actually like writes and sends a letter addressed to Itsuki into their old home. And then going into Otaru, there's another Itsuki Fuji, who's this young woman, but played by Miho Nakayama. And she receives a letter and is also pretty appalled by it, not knowing like who the sender is, but strangely, it's addressed to her name at the same time. So like after some debate with her family and her friends, Itsuki also ultimately decides to reply to the letter. And yeah, they kind of like starts the exchange. So Hiroko also gets equally shocked after receiving a reply back to sending a letter to someone who's dead, and ends up bringing it up to her now boyfriend, Akiba, who was also close friends with Itsuki because they were mountain climbers. So he actually passed away mountain climbing, right? Like in an accident. So he thinks that she's crazy after bringing up the letter exchange. And after like, I think like they do like another round of letters, and that's when he's like, something is like fishy going on, you know? And he starts to suspect the things. So as they're like kind of conversating, there's like uproots controversy within their own relationship because, you know, like Hinako still loves Itsuki, even though that like he's dating her friend and
all awkward.
there's like a lot of
that's why you don't date your friend girlfriend
after you die. Yeah, there's a few of that drama mix going on, you know, and so basically Akiba starts to take action on like uncovering who the actual sender of these letters are. And once he finds out that like it is this girl that shares the same name as the fiance, and he brings it to Hinako, and he even goes as far as to like saying that they should travel to Otaru, right, and meet with her to just kind of like lay things to rest, essentially. And so after some convincing, like they actually end up going. So during the trip, they actually go to Itsuki's house, but they actually never formally meet, but they do like cross paths in the end. And after this is like when the movie really takes a turn, right? So it's no longer about that. But Itsuki, now thinking that the letter exchange is kind of subsided, ends up receiving another letter from Hinako, who basically asks her to like write the memories that she has of the guy Itsuki, because during her trip and looking through the yearbook again, she realizes that the girl Itsuki actually went to the same junior high school as the guy Itsuki, because like Otaru is a really small town, so like everybody knows everybody apparently. And so when she realizes that the person that she was mailing actually knew him, you know, she kind of like inquires, knowing more about him, his past life. And so this kind of all builds up. There's like long flashback scenes of like all the memories that she had of high school together. Like there's kind of like a lot of teasing between them two of like being in a relationship, right?
Because they have the same name.
Because they have the same name and like typical middle school, you know, stuff. But this ends up like culminating to the fact that, like I said kind of earlier, everybody but Itsuki starts to suspect that Itsuki likes Itsuki in the end, but the girl Itsuki's like, no, I didn't think of him that way. And then by the end, she goes back to her old school, and the students kind of like, because she used to be like the librarian, and then they help, there's like a scene where they help her realize that like she, in fact, that Itsuki actually did like her in the end. And that kind of like is a cathartic moment for Itsuki. But then for Hinako, it's like Itsuki probably was in the relationship with her because he liked Itsuki and they share the same face, essentially. And that kind of sparks the moment for her to kind of like lay things to rest finally and actually maybe give the Akiba relationship a chance.
Not really.
I mean, that's where it leaned, though, at the end.
Did it though?
It kind of did.
Did it though?
In like the way I saw it, it kind of did. It went a little more hopeful rather than be like, we're done.
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Whatever loose scenes we got.
They don't anyway. Really put a definite nail in the coffin there.
Right, right, right. But yeah, that's pretty much how it ends. Those are kind of the loose ends that it ties up with. But yeah, that's that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because like for Hinako and Akiba, in the like at first when they were going up to the mountain, right? She was like, "No, we shouldn't do this. Like, this is not gonna work out." And so you're thinking that like it's gonna go that way, but then at the very end, it kind of shifts tones a little bit. Like, I think it ends a little more hopeful than it does between them two than not. I mean, you can think what you think, but I'm just saying.
I mean, you're entitled to your thoughts.
My opinions are right. Is it your though? Opinions are wrong.
Is it?
It's positively true. Positively true. Yeah. I think overall, my, like, thoughts on the movie is that it's, like, it's really good. But I think, like, it's funny that if you pull back, there's a lot of, you know, interweaving, like, intertwining, like, threads and kind of, like, subplots and, like, personal character relationships. Like, it feels like it's doing a lot if you kind of pull back. But I think the movie is actually presented in a really, really nice way
mm-hmm.
that it feels really smooth, you know, and it doesn't feel that complex. But, like, it ends up being a really pleasing experience. From the way I watched it anyway. Maybe not for you, but I think it did a really great job in, like, execution. Because after watching A Bride for a Prom Wrinkle, that movie felt a little nuanced and a little more of, like, enthusiast movie, if you know what I mean? Like, I feel like...
No, I don't know.
I don't, like, I feel like it wasn't for everybody, you know? Like, if this one, though, felt more, like, pleasing for anybody to watch. Like, anybody could watch this and be like, that was a great romance movie, you know?
Was it a romance movie, though?
But, like, tonally it was, like, romantic, but, you know.
I'm kidding.
Are you, though?
I'm kidding. I mean, like I said, I did enjoy watching the movie. I just think that, I don't know, I think somewhere in the middle there, like I mentioned, like it just kind of, I don't know, I just kind of want, maybe it's just my personal thing where I just kind of wanted more for Hiroko.
Sure.
That's the thing.
You felt like wrong that we shoved her to the side.
Yeah, after no, a while. It's like, just like, you know, you're with her, you know, she's mourning for this guy for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this dude's constantly clinging on to her and she has to deal with this dude. Uh-huh. And, you know, they go all the way to Otaru and, you know, she starts exchanging letters and it just kind of feels bad, you know, that that she realizes that.
Yeah.
Basically, the guy kind of liked her because she just looks the same.
Yeah, and then it ends, like, really bad, too, like, in that way.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that kind of sucks.
You know, you're just kind of left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you don't even really get to that because she's just kind of thrown out by the end. And it's funny because it's the same person playing the character. So you're kind of, like, you're not even rooting for somebody else. You're just rooting for the same person. But it's weird because they're different people at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, like, Itsuki... You know, you kind of, it's like, it's weird because, like, for her too, it's not like she really did anything about the love either. Like,
right.
She just kind of realizes, oh, he liked me back then, but he's dead too. So, who, like, there's no
yeah,
real,
like, what,
like,
does that mean?
Yeah,
the
like,
end, yeah.
What does that even, you know, entail at the end? And it's like, it's weird because there's, doesn't have to be anything, right? Like, it doesn't really have to amount to some some greater connection between two people, but it because I mean, in romance, I think even just the thought of, you know, having loved somebody is powerful enough in itself, and I think that this movie is trying to portray that,
right?
And I think that's fine,
like in the way that, like, obviously in every romance movie, oh, they're together now.
Mm.
Like, that's just it.
Right, right. Or even if they're not, even if it's something like for example, A Moment to Remember, where it's right, like, yeah, you're never going to be able to be together anymore. I think that's still a powerful kind of sentiment, sure, and a romantic sentiment, you know, like even if you're gone, I'll still love you kind of thing. It's still a powerful sentiment. Mm. And I think that this movie kind of does that in the sense that, like, at the end, even when she, it's just her own realization of the situation that happened in the past for her, right?
Right, right.
And her coming to terms with that in one sense. And I think that that's, you know, that's a good, like, powerful kind of romantic sentiment. But personally, I just kind of felt like it was just like the scales were unbalanced between Hiroko and Itsuki. And
it's right, kind of, right.
It's more like, personally, I just kind of felt bad for her. And it was just like, okay, Itsuki just kind of doesn't really, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she realizes that, but what happens to her after that,
yeah,
too, you know?
I feel that too, in the way that for Hinoko, like, Hinoko has a stronger ending in the way that it matters more, right?
Like, yeah, I feel like the consequences of what, of their realization,
yes,
has a heavier burden on Hiroko,
right,
than it does on Itsuki.
Yeah,
because it never really felt like she really, like,
she didn't care.
Yeah, like, yeah, she didn't really love him or anything.
So it's like, what changes when you find out?
Right,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Nothing, like, really changes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just kind of like her realization of that.
Right.
But it doesn't really feel like she ever really, like, loved him in any kind of, you know, exactly, meaningful way, at least in the way that they showed us in the movie.
Right.
Whereas Hiroko, it felt like, you know, she really, like, cared for the dude.
Yeah.
Just because by virtue of the fact that she, you know,
she was married, gonna marry that
gonna
guy.
Gonna marry the dude. Mourning for him for 2 years, you know, yeah, like, yeah, there are, yeah, still lingering things there that kind of makes you think, oh, she like really loved this dude. Mm. And it just kind of is sad to see that she just kind of gets the short end of the stick, you know, at the end.
It's
just,
yeah, like, yeah. It doesn't make sense in, like, that way that, okay, if like, we're doing this, like, the story and, like, the journey of it, if, right, like, all, if from the start and, like you said, the realization for, of, like, Itsuki's motivation or whatever, like, that he, the consequence for Hinako, like, then we should have just flipped it. Like, well, Hinako, yeah, should have been the lead in...
And like I said, I'm not saying that the movie is bad. Like, right. Like I said, I enjoyed watching the movie. It's just, I just kind of feel...
The priorities.
It's just the way that I feel about the situation that happened in the movie is, like, I'm not quite satisfied with it. You know?
Right.
I'm not saying the movie is bad or anything. Like, I actually did enjoy watching the movie. I think it was shot really well. And like you said, the story is very fluid and it kind of runs very smoothly. And the way that they introduce the questions, like I talked about before, like, it really makes you engaged and want to watch the movie more, yeah, to see what happens. And I think in that sense, the movie is very well, like, you know, well thought out and, yeah, made. It's just my own personal, you know, idea about how things turned out that, you know,
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, by like the very end, like the fact that, you know, the very last, like, shot and, like, scene is with Itsuki, and it is that, like, full circle, like, oh, he did like me. I also was like, okay, but what does that mean, though? Like, what is, you get it, like, I already knew from the start, right? But at the same time, it's like, what does that mean for Itsuki at the end? Like, I feel, because for her, it was more, like, her thing with her dad and, like, the cold, like, her having, like, the cold, or, like, yeah, or... Pneumonia. My English so English. Bad. English so bad. Like that whole bit was kind of her own character arc, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, like, that whole bit was solved earlier and all that was left was the Itsuki bit, but, like, that wasn't as important as the father,
yeah,
thing,
the
right?
Pneumonia, like, the stakes thing, weren't, too, like, was like...
Yeah, even that was, okay, we rushed her to the hospital,
yeah,
earlier.
Great.
Yeah, we saved her, but we couldn't save her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Teary eye.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, just everything for Itsuki wasn't super, super strong.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. I feel like they had the potential to, but by the end, you know, could be a consequence of, like, all the things that they juggled, you know? Like,
it would have been, I think, I don't know, it's like if they had revealed that she did, maybe it was subtle, maybe it was something, but if they kind of revealed a little bit more that in the past that Itsuki actually did like him, or like, you know, kind of made it a little more obvious. I don't know. Maybe they would. Maybe
that's the thing, though. Like, I don't think she liked him at all.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, maybe if she, I don't know. Maybe it's just my own like thought. Maybe she never did like him.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they kind of, this is the thing. I'm wondering, like, was he intending it to just be really, really subtle to the point where you're like not sure?
Yeah.
And you just have the question, because at the end, when the students come to give her the book, she does have like a emotional response to receiving the book and seeing the picture and and like kind of maybe having a realization. Well, understanding that he liked her.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe that also kind of confirms that maybe she did have something like for him as well.
I think that was more of like, because all throughout, we know that Itsuki like passed away years ago, but this Itsuki, like, she never knew that he died.
Yeah.
Up until close to that moment. Yeah. And so I just think that maybe that response came more from out of that.
Yeah,
from like sorrow and like realizing that the guy Itsuki was more of an important role in her life than she gave credit for, you know?
Possibly, yeah. So back to my point is like, maybe if they did add little moments where it is revealed that she did like him, then it might have kind of...
That feels more significant.
Right, right. Yeah. So at the end, when she receives that book, she kind of realizes, it confirms that he liked her and she liked him, and they're kind of like, oh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just my own kind of, you know,
yeah,
thoughts on possibly how to make that feel a little bit more, in my own opinion, right? More satisfying, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think it would have worked out fine if just... If we like switch the priorities, like if we just kept Hinako as the lead, then I think it would have paid off knowing like what we know. Like if we kept Itsuki at the back burner, like we could still keep the flashbacks and stuff. But instead of like when we go back to the present, we're still looking at Itsuki. Like if we had responses from Hinako, like discovering about his past and kind of like, you know, unearthing this side that she didn't know about her ex-fiance, I think that would have led better into the finale of...
I think the another reason why it felt kind of empty for that was the fact that we never get to see how he was after all of that incident
in
the flashback.
Like his college days.
Yeah, his college days, like the mountain climbing stuff, like... You never see him in those moments.
Yeah.
So you don't know how he had changed, right?
Right. Like
you don't know the changed version of who he is.
We don't know what he was like for Hinako. Like,
at all.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that really is the difference maker, I feel like, for the two characters. Where if the audience had an idea of what, you know, Itsuki was like with Hinako, then... Mm-hmm. I think it would give us a good kind of balance between like who he was in the past and who he is in the present and how that affects the two characters.
Right, right, yeah.
And I think it would make that moment, even at the mountain, a little bit more like understandable.
Yeah.
Or like help us kind of have that framework, right?
Yeah.
To see that, oh, like I guess she finally, you know, is able to let him go or something.
Right, right.
But... Because you just have no idea of that, and you're just going by all the flashback stuff and the things that Itsuki had told Hinako.
Yeah, which really relates nothing for Hinako.
Yeah, it doesn't really do anything for her per se. It's just like she makes the assumption that, oh, he must have liked me because of him looking like her, looking like Itsuki. But that's like total speculation, right? You just literally don't know, right? Like there is no moment when... The guy Itsuki ever, because we never see him, right? You just never know about that fact, and it's just her completely speculating about that fact, and kind of her just assuming that and being like, okay, I'm just gonna let you go, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I said before too, is like did she really let him go at the end at the mountain? Like,
sure,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. Like, did she? Or is she just being pressured by the Akiba guy? Which I felt
plausible.
Like,
plausible.
I feel like he's pretty pushy, though, yeah, you know? Like, it's not...
Pretty. Yeah. That man is definitely...
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not very subtle the way that he...
he literally pushes her at the end.
Tries to steal the girl from the dead guy. Making her move on.
He had the crush first. He's like, I laid eyes first, Itsuki. You stole my woman. I'm here to steal her back.
Like, imagine the big twist was like, in the mountains, he's the one that pushed him off the cliff. Yo, this is actually a crime drama, dude.
It's actually Lion King.
It's actually a thriller.
I told you it was Fincher. See, and you, I convinced you.
Well,
you
convinced yourself. maybe that would have made another interesting movie.
How to change the movie.
What completely. Really happened what up re- in the yeah. mountains? Do you see that mountain? Yeah. That's where I killed your boyfriend.
We never recovered his body. He's still there. To this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even, like, we didn't... It would have been nicer, too, if... Like, we didn't even have to show him, like, in the more recent times. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was just more, like, accounts of who he was exactly. from all the friends and, like, supporting cast that we see. Because, like, everybody knew him. Like, literally every...
They talk about him, but basically what they say, oh, he was a nice guy. That's all they say.
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't really go into account of, like... Specifically, like exactly what he was, who he did, like right. little moments that really kind of made him stand mm-hmm. out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and even like, especially even from Hinako
yeah.
and her, like the mom and Akiba, like nobody really
talks about him. Yeah. Like, we have it's no funny idea because they like... do talk about him, but they don't really yeah. talk about
him. But not in a way that's relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in a way that gives us information that makes us know more about him.
Right, right. Because, like, that would make, like you said, I mean, that just supports, that would, like, lead better into that cathartic moment. Like, why knowing, like, or just knowing how important he was to Hinako, right?
Then or how, maybe not.
Or not, right?
Like,
yeah.
We just don't know. We just don't have anything.
But it just would have made, like, the whole cathartic scene more relatable because we understand, like, right. You know,
yeah. Just kind of, we just have an idea of like how he thinks, what he's right, about, right. right?
But we have none of that. We just like no. We know middle school Itsuki.
And, yeah, and we just have some speculation.
Yeah, yeah. This is what
about a morning fiance?
But a morning fiance?
Yeah. Who's but yeah, yeah. about to get stolen by his best friend or something?
It's my girl. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get the boot off the mountain. He cut the rope.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Oops.
Why bad. Do you think he doesn't want to mountain climb anymore?
Oh. Nobody wants to mountain climb after the incident. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but again, like, it's still a good movie. Like, it's really well made, 100%.
I agree.
I really like, I mean, on to that point, I really like the way that he used... like handheld shots, like particularly for like I guess Itsuki's side. I feel like every time we saw her, it felt like it was on a handheld, but it just added like a kinetic energy to it that felt really kind of nice for the movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I like just the overall environment, like the snow,
like in Hokkaido, and
Hokkaido, and
that's one of the biggest things that was praised about the movie.
Yeah, like the environment, the setting, the way that they kind of. Captured the romance of snow.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Him kicking snow. He's waiting outside the house. That's romantic.
Uh-huh. Kick. And just like, you know, like that kind of feeling of like writing a letter, but like in the cold outside yeah. and then in the warm home. And,
it's all know, like romantic that like kind notations. Of, yeah, yeah.
Romantic notion of being able to write letters and mm-hmm. almost like by the fireplace kind of feeling, you know?
I mean, quite literally.
Was there a fireplace?
I mean, in her room, remember?
Was it? I don't remember.
It was like a stone pot. I don't know if it was like a soup thing, but like it was like a fire kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that kind of aesthetic, you know? Mm.
Like her house was really, basically a cabin.
Yeah, it really works Japanese for house. That for that romantic vibe.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Yeah, the aesthetics are like big plus all around. I think also the cast is amazing. Let me just say the performances are chef's kiss.
I mean, just the one girl playing the same character.
sometimes that's all you need, right? Right. When you're working on tight budget, you just reuse what you have.
The reason why the classic was more like easier to understand between the two characters was it was like a flashback, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it was easier to understand that like it was
completely two different times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas that, this like, one, it's like the same time. So that's why I was like really confused.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's like in the beginning of the movie when you're still figuring out like what is this movie about. You just get like a lot of questions because you're thinking like, okay, is this going into like a fantasy kind of thing? Like, is this like parallel dimensions or like, are we time traveling or are they just like clones? Like it's like kind of fishy, but you're like, you don't really know what they're going for.
Until like they kind of talk about
that. Yeah. Until everything is like discovered and you're just, okay, they're.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It was just something that I just noticed.
Yeah. I mean, same. It's just like getting into the movies. It takes a long couple steps to understand what's.
But the good thing is it made an interest. I think, you know, that tagline of her sending the letter and then getting response back
to like herself.
Yeah, that makes you really like. Question, right? Like exactly, as an audience, it's like, oh, what is this?
Question.
Who is this?
Yeah, because like it's really smart that it starts off for them like really separated. Mm-hmm. So that's like where you're really kind of questioning things. But as they like the worlds get smaller, you kind of like then you're kind of forming everything, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the way they did that was really neat.
and the like you said, the acting was really good, and especially for Hiroko and Itsuki, it's like. You can really tell that they're different characters, 100%, right? Like in the way that they act.
Yeah.
They have the subtle things. Yeah, the personalities and the way that they kind of talk to their friends and stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So which Mia do you prefer more?
Which one?
Mitch, what's her name? I think Nakamura is.
Nakamura?
Hold on, I have it like here somewhere. Oh yeah, Miho Nakayama.
Nakayama.
Which one of her do you like the most? Itsuki or Hiroko? The more timid one or like the quirky 20-year-old?
Probably the older one.
Really?
The more mature one.
The quirky one is great. It's cool.
I think you would like the quirky one for
sure. She's funny. I love it like the entrance scene when the mailman has like the crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like trying to give her, she's like, like pushes him back.
Get out.
I have a cold. Go away, weird man. But yeah, I think the supporting cast is really good though, too. Like, I think it's funny that I really liked just about everybody else.
Yeah, the flashback characters.
Flashbacks characters, like all the family and friends, like the grandpa. Anything with the grandpa.
76-year-old man running in the snow with like a human being on the back.
I like that you think he's like senile, but he's really not.
Yeah. He's faking it the whole time because he just doesn't want to do work.
Where it's more like everybody else treats him as senile, but he's not really.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's probably going to be my dad when he gets that age. So I'm foreseeing the future. Like when she receives the letter and she's asking her mom and like, do you know Hiroko?
It's like, give me the letter.
Yeah. And she's like, nah. She's like, maybe it's the friend that she's got like, married.
No,
yeah. And she gives him cute pie instead. Yeah. He's like, am I just an ornament in this family? Or like when they're moving to their new house and the mom is like, now we just have to convince your grandpa.
I was like, does my opinion matter?
Yeah. He's like, do it. It's like, if I say something, will it really change anything? And she's like, did you just say yes? Did you just agree? What? Yeah, that's all neat. But yeah, everybody is, I think the main thing is like, all the characters feel pretty distinct from each other too. They all have very, like, pointable characteristics between like the grandpa, the mom, even the uncle, right? That was like showing them, he was like showing them the new houses and stuff. That freaking laugh that he has.
Was that the uncle?
I thought it was. I thought it was like, yeah, because she said in the car that it was like the brother-in-law. I think, I'm trying to remember. It was like the dad that passed away. I think that was his, like, his brother-in-law or something.
His brother.
Like, his brother, yeah, something like that. But yeah, it was all pretty fun. It's all kind of good. It's quirky, funny. It's kind of a funny movie too.
Is it?
A little bit. Maybe not to you. You don't laugh. You don't laugh or cry at anything.
Laughing right now.
You're laughing at me. That's different. That you do all the time, jerk. That's different.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Any interesting scenes? One to end it on.
Yeah.
End the series on.
Any particular scenes that you liked?
I like the bike scene. When
bike scene.
Yeah, when Itsuki, the guy, Itsuki, he like comes out. He's like wearing this plastic bag. Not a plastic, like paper, like a paper brown bag. Yeah. On his head. And like he follows the girl. Just throws a bag on her.
She's like, ah!
Yeah. Another good scene.
Dude, that one girl that's like the mutual friend, Sanae, who like has the crush on...
Yo, she's freaky.
Yo. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody just has a thing about them.
She looks like a normal girl and then...
then she talks.
That was a good scene too, where she's like, hey... Can you introduce me to Itsuki?
And then she like pulls a fast one on her.
And then she's like tries to pull her in, and then she's like, no, I'm gonna do it myself.
I'm gonna do it myself. I felt like that was so unnecessary though, because it didn't feel like that Itsuki was even gonna go with her in a way. That it was just like unnecessarily. Like, yeah.
Well, she was like trying to push her in.
Yeah. And she was like, I don't need your help. Yeah. I got this. Lady. But yeah, all the flashbacks are cool. I think maybe my favorite scene would be when Hinako sends Itsuki the Polaroid camera and she like starts photographing the track and stuff. She's like having the time of her life.
That was a weird thing too, where he like breaks his leg.
Oh my god.
He just runs at the track meet.
It's funny that you watch it and you go like, is this the guy you really loved, Hinako? Is this the same kid?
Yeah.
He's so, like, recluse and, like, you don't understand him. Like,
well, you'd never even know how he was after, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like, you're running after you break your leg for the track. Like, I don't know, are you really determined for some reason? Like, there was no clear motivation as to why you went to such great lengths.
Yeah.
Like, were you trying to impress Itsuki or something? Because that didn't come clear through.
I don't think it worked.
I don't think it worked at all. You just made a fool of yourself. That's what happened. The teacher that remembers her entire class and the rankings.
Yeah.
That's some stuff. It's a good skill. But other than that, it's a good movie. I really like this. Solid recommend. Like I said, I think it's most shocking that I can recommend this to anybody. It just kind of surprised me that it's an easy movie to get into in that way. So, that is a series. What did you think so far?
It was refreshing, I think, coming off of all the action stuff that we were doing.
I was like, what did we even watch before this?
Yeah,
it was a gangster one, right? Was it?
No, it was Jet Li.
Oh, Jet Li.
And then before that, we were doing a comedy. So there was a lot of like...
action comedy, stuff like that. Yeah, we finally kicked it down a notch. Some good old man and woman.
What? But yeah, I enjoyed the series. The two movies that I picked, I already watched.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of already knew... going into it, but the other two that we watched, it was pleasantly surprisingly good. I think this one in particular I enjoyed more than Man and a Woman. I think
sure
that one it was okay, not my favorite, but It wasn't like the worst.
It's because you couldn't relate to it?
Yeah.
Or because you couldn't. Could relate to it.
How do you know about my dark side? I
wish to not recall
such my other life.
Lee.
Oh, where's my child?
Oh, shoo!
Anyways. Yeah. I mean, I like happy endings.
Right, okay.
in romance, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, can we call this a happy ending, though?
This one?
It's like one. I mean, you couldn't even really call Itsuki's ending like a happy ending, per se.
I mean, this one doesn't even really, like. I think they just go back to, you know,
to their own lives.
Yeah, the starting point. They like, just go back to.
Yeah.
To zero.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. How would you rank them?
To be honest, I'll put this one first. Just because. Really? Yeah. It's probably because
the fucking
the
like
other ones I've watched too many times.
Okay.
And it's just like
personally you're like, they've come to mid now.
Yeah. It's like I just, you know, it's just too many times watching it.
Sure.
and then probably A Moment to Remember second, I would say, and then Man and a Woman, and then Classic.
God dang. Oh, wow. I thought that would have been flopped, but okay.
Nah, it's just I watched it too many times. Yeah. Even A Moment to Remember, but.
Bashes the movie, puts the movie as number one.
I'm just
the story arc on Lee right now.
Just a man full of contradictions. You know? I like it, but I don't like it. I like it, but I have issues with it.
But I really don't like it,
but I like kind of like it too.
I think we're gonna listen to this episode and just be like,
I think cinematically, I think this one definitely, I like it the most. The way that it was shot,
100%. 100% agree.
And then probably A Moment to Remember second, to be honest.
Yeah, just because of the editing was really cool.
Yeah.
And A Moment to Remember.
Yeah.
And like, it's nice and colorful.
And it has a lot of, I like the way that the editing and the way that they shoot it tell a story, you know?
In A Moment to Remember. Yeah. 100%.
That's what I really like about that movie, even more than just like the story.
There was some stylized editing like in this movie, but not in the way that like, I mean, it definitely didn't like add to anything to the story. Like in A Moment to Remember, but just like a clever match cut here and there, like the cut where she sneezes after receiving the thing, that kind of that's the thing, like it throws you off because I'm like, are we doing like a thing where okay now we're cutting back to Hinako, but like, no, it's just Itsuki again, but like in the library,
but you know, like kind of thinking that through in A Moment to Remember, I think is really, you know, significant in the way that they edit it and stuff.
Very clever. Yeah, I don't know how I would rank these. Maybe I'd probably put, would I put A Man and a Woman last? Question mark.
That's your choice, man.
It'd be like if I like the classic more. I might keep it the same. I think
that's mine?
Almost. I might just flip flop. A Man and a Woman and the Classic.
Mm.
Just because I haven't seen them at all.
Mm, so, true.
Yeah, you know, I don't have that like exhausted relationship as you do. But I think A Love Letter is more like my personal speed. Like I kind of liked it a lot. And then A Moment to Remember was really nice as well. Yeah. And the Classic is like, I mean, like the Classic is mid though. like it's good, but like I said, it's all right. And Man, Woman is, I don't know, it just doesn't have, like, the same charm as, like, the other romance. I think that's where it kind of loses a little bit of points.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well made, and it's a really solid story, but it's...
Not my kind of story.
Not my kind of story. I have nothing to do with that. Nah.
I'd be interested to do another romance series, though.
Yeah.
There's so many, you know, and we haven't even explored, you know... other countries and stuff like that as well. I mean, like, even, you know, when we did do we do In the Mood for Love, or do we not?
No, I don't think we've done a single Wong Kar-wai film.
Oh, okay, well, we could do that one.
We should take one from like four regions and just like battle pit who can do it better.
Yeah,
yeah,
There's so many, you know. There's many romance movies.
It's a staple genre for anybody, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have one. But you know who doesn't have a lot is our next series. And that is gambling films.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Did you forget? Like, you're like, what are we watching next?
No, I'm excited to watch it again. Actually, I love the movies that I picked.
Yeah, I've watched one. So it's gambling and games. I'm thinking about calling the series GG's.
GG. GG.
For all the nerds.
GG easy.
GG easy.
Yeah.
What is it easy for?
Easy game.
Easy game. Oh my God. Thought it'd be like easy GG's. Well, originally we were like just gambling, but that was hard to find like specifically gambling movies. There's just not a lot. I mean, maybe particularly for like Asian films.
If we expand to like American movies, there's so many.
Every ocean's.
Yeah, I mean, that would be boring just doing all oceans, but even just like, you know, I think it's called Rain Man. I forget, but there's a lot.
Oh, Rain Man's really good.
Yeah, there's many, you know.
Yeah, like, 21.
21, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we have a lot, actually. Yeah. Rounders is really good. Oh,
yeah, Rounders, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so many, but Asian ones, not as many.
Yeah, surprising. But
actually, there is another one now that we talk about it again, there's another one that we could have done. But it's funny because it's a lot of Korean ones. Korean people like those kind of like heist.
Oh, okay.
Heist or like, you know, gambling, those kind of movies. They really like it. And they go for that, but I don't know about like, I haven't seen too many in like China, for example.
Which is weird because like gambling is fucking huge.
True,
in China.
But it's more
of a like we do it for real. Like we don't.
No, I mean it's probably more you know contained in the sense that like the government is not too keen.
Don't bring
on
it out to
the
light.
In
the
world, you know.
Don't tell everybody we're gambling addicts. Come on.
That's not what they usually want to represent.
I think there's like a clear distinction of what we're doing where it's like, because you can mix gambling and heist movies pretty similarly, but they're very kind of distinct, right? So like, I mean, we're going towards like more actual kind of gambling, or at least I hope that that's like, that was the idea anyway, so we'll see what we get with, but that's kind of the theme that we wanted to do versus like heist genre, right? Where that's more like action, more a little more crime oriented.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like set in like usually casinos or something, right? But and that's why we kind of like did gambling and games, because a little similar, and we just kind of struggled to find particular gambling. But we will be watching, the list is Taza, The High Rollers, came out in 2007, directed by Choi Dong-hoon. So guess who picked that one? 07? No. It's a one-time deal, sir. Second is The God of Gamblers, directed by Wong Jing in 1989. And then,
that wasn't me.
Oh, really?
Nah.
Who is it? Somebody under the table? Third is Kaiji, The Ultimate Gambler, directed by Toya Sato in 2009.
Was that me?
That was pre-2010.
Was that me?
And then lastly, we'll finish it with March Comes in Like a Lion in 2017, directed by Keishi Otomo. That'll be the first one, not the sequel, because there's another one. We'll be just watching the first one. And so, yeah, I think really, like, the three literally have gambling in the name.
Yeah.
And then March Comes in Like a Lion is, like, the only game movie. Yeah. So for the most part, we're good.
Yeah.
So
I haven't seen three of these movies. So
you've only seen Taza, right?
Tacha, yeah.
Tacha?
Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
In Korean, but ZZ is a little more pronounced.
Tacha.
Tacha, yeah.
Tacha. I've only seen one as well. Actually, that would be March Comes in Like a Lion, and I've never seen any of the other ones.
Yeah. Tacha, they They play a Korean gambling game. So they use these different kinds of cards that it's called Watu, and then they use those cards to play like a game.
Are those the tiny ones?
Yeah, they're very small. They're
that are like red?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Red ones.
I've seen them in movies before. It's about
You did?
Yeah.
Which movie? Well, maybe we should do that movie.
No, but it wasn't about the game. Oh, like, really? They were just playing it on screen. No. Yeah, yeah. Like, even when we watched the Zombieology.
Did they have it there?
Yeah, like, because it was, like, in the village, and the old people were, like, playing it.
I don't remember.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was way back.
That's an OG.
Yeah.
OG for the series.
No.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, I see it a couple of times. Like,
yeah. But it's fun. It's fun. It's a classic.
Sure.
I say that for every movie.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's like, come on, everything's a classic.
All Koreans are like, you're born. Now you have to watch
these 20 movies.
I'm
trying to introduce you guys to these classic Korean movies that are loved, that are beloved, you know?
By all.
Not all. But,
says the guy who put classic at the very bottom of his list.
Exactly. Not all. Not all.
They're so classic, they drain the life out of you.
Mm. Sometimes, you know, there's a fine line between classic and cliche, you know? Sure.
Well said. Well said. But yeah, anyway, that'll do that. So next week, we'll be watching Cha-Cha, The High Rollers. And then we'll see you for then. Other than that, quick shout out to our Patreon. Come and see what we have. If you want to watch Cha-Cha earlier than the usual release, then you can subscribe and you get it a week early. So yeah, we'll see you then. Peace.
Bye.